Hello and welcome to our Revive service. It's good to have you with us. My name is Aaron Hesketh. This week, Pastor Aaron writes, "You have not because you ask not." What a statement James lays out for us. He continues by writing, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions." Today, in our final part of our series, we look at the final two actions of prayer. Asking and yielding are important elements in our walk with Jesus. How does your heart respond to asking, or when God says something other than what you want? Remember that to pray, praise, repent, ask, yield, is about a relationship with God and is much more than just a model. Here is Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning. Good to see each of you here this morning. If you take your Bibles, we're going to flip open to a few passages this morning. If you've got a bulletin, inside of that bulletin is an insert there. It says Q&A, your questions, God's answers. This morning will be our last part of this 12-week series. And if you didn't get your question answered, don't fret. You can still write those if you still have questions. But I'm going to try something different and new. Aaron Hesketh, Aaron, wave your hand there. Aaron is has been our summer intern with the media realm of things, and Aaron's going to help me vlog. It's a video, like, log, like you go online and you can watch a video. So he's going to help me with that. I have no idea how to do all that stuff, but he's going to help me, and we're going to put some of the questions that I wasn't able to cover on a Sunday morning. Like one person, I'm not sure who, but maybe you can guess when I say this. One person asked a question, "So who's your favorite daughter?" And actually they answered it, and it said, "God says it's Lene." So I'm not sure where that question came from, but if your question didn't get answered, it is going to be answered. We're just going to do it in that way on our website, and so that you'll be able to reference that. So Lene, thanks for letting me embarrass you a little bit. Appreciate that. You know, I was, when I get here on Sunday mornings, usually no one's here, and I just walk around, and I usually just pray over the morning and just pray that God would bless our time and bless just our time together and in the Word and our teachers and each of you. And it just is neat as you walked in this morning, just to see you and just to greet you and to see your smiles and to be a part of this, to be part of this family. It's really a gift, and it means a lot to me to see you here this morning, and I'm glad that you've chosen to come and worship God. I hope you didn't come just to see me. I know Jim Bricker, he didn't come here to just see me. He came here to worship and to see all of you, but I give him a hard time. But you pray for Jim as he wrestles with Parkinson's. And I know that you guys have been walking through the prayer list that's in our bulletin. I know Bernie and Georgia continue to keep praying for them. Georgia had her second chemo treatment on Thursday, and so she has a new hairdo as of yesterday. So you can be praying for her as she walks through that. It's just different, having being a woman. I don't know what that's like, first of all, and then having to have your head shaved. You know, that's just part of a woman and your hair. But good to see Bernie Edith here this morning. Glad to see you. Bernie went with his mom, and you look good, Bernie. So I wanted to do it in support too, but my wife won't let me. So I have a wedding I'm doing Saturday. So she said, "You can't do anything till after the wedding." So I'm excited to dig into the Word with you this morning. We're talking about prayer again. I know I did a series in prayer back a couple years ago. And we're coming to the end of this, and as I was walking through this, and even yesterday, I was out on a walk in the morning, and I posed the question, why pray? And let me ask it differently, why not pray? I started to ponder that and think about that. Why not pray? And so then I started to think about all the reasons why maybe I don't pray enough. And it's, for me, there are times where maybe I question, maybe I struggle a little bit. Does God really want this? Is he really doing, like, working in this way? Does he really want that for me? But I think for me, some of what I struggle with and why I don't pray, it was a realization like, I feel like I'm bothering God. Like, God, you have so much more important things. Like, my requests are so little. Like, I don't want. And so I just, as you think about why do you pray? And ultimately, the last question that I'm going to ask you this morning is, what does your prayer life reveal about your relationship with God? And there's a sense of dependency, right, that we should have on our relationship with God. And I think there that when we look and examine our prayer life, and I hope that you think through that this morning, that's my prayer, that as you think about your prayer life, what does that show about your relationship with God? And so will you pray with me before we dig in? And then I'm going to challenge you, make your work a little bit as we walk through the scriptures this morning. Lord, we're thankful for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship and to sing to you. Thank you for Andrew and the gifts that you've given him and the praise team. And Lord, for our sound and audio technicians, Lord, and all their hard work. And we thank you for the gifts and abilities you've given us. Thank you for this facility. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to come and worship you. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given to us. And as we have sang Alleluia, Lord, we lift you on high. You are so good. And so we come, Lord, I pray with a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving and a heart of humility. And we ask now, Lord, that as we open up your word, that you would come and meet with us, that your spirit would move inside of us, Lord, that we would allow you to have access to every region and every part of our heart. And so, Lord, that you would do your work in us and then do your work through us as we live out today and the rest of this week and the rest of our years, Lord. So thank you for each that's here. Thank you for those who have tuned in online. And I pray that you would bless each one. And may we be open and attentive to what you'd have us to learn this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So often, I put the references in the scripture up on the screen, and there's going to be a couple that I'm not going to ask you to turn to because they're just a sentence or two. But all the others, I want you to turn. Please open up your Bibles and get your fingers going. And I know some of you have the electronic, and so you can get your finger going. And I there's something about opening up to be able to see it, whether it's on your phone or your tablet or whether it's before you. I want you just to read along with me. There are several passages that I'm sharing, and I tried to cut them out and cut them down, and I thought, no, I'm going to share the Word, because here's the reason why. The Word of God is more important than anything that I'll say this morning. I hope you believe that. I hope that you know that. I think sometimes we walk in, and I, when I go to a pastor's conference or I get to sit in a sermon in those rare times, a service, I can't wait to hear what he's going to say or the challenge that he's going to throw out. And while I think I have some things that God has shared with me that I want to share with you, there's nothing more important than what you'll hear this morning than the Word of God. And I hope you know that, and I hope you believe that. And so as we walk through this, let it speak to you this morning. The first is Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 33:3. Again, I'll read these first three. You can turn to Matthew 7. All right, I'll give you a second to turn to Matthew 7. And we're going to walk through Matthew 7 through 11, and then flip over to chapter 15. But this first passage here, I just want to read to you. It's a sentence. It's up on the screen here. It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." And what a passage, what a verse to have before us, to know that if we call upon God, that he hears us and that he speaks to us. The great thing about prayer, and that we can't lose sight of, is it's not just some formula. It's about a relationship. It is about a relationship with you and with God. And to know that this passage here, that God wants to reveal who he is, great and hidden things, things that we wouldn't be able to see unless we were in prayer. And so the next passage here is in Job 13:15. And this verse says, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. yet I will argue my ways to his face. Maybe that gives you a little comfort. This is Job, and if you don't know the story of Job, great opportunity for you to read this week. First few chapters, even if you just dig in the first three chapters, you see this man who was stricken. He was tested by God, and for purposes that Job didn't really see at the time. And I love this. I love this line where he says, "Though he slay me, hey, even though if God kills me, my hope is in him, and yet I will argue my ways to his face." God, I'm gonna have a conversation with you. I'm gonna let you know where my heart is. And that's what made Job so unique, in that he was a righteous and upright man. Not that he was demanding. When he got his demands that weren't being met, God put him in this place and said, "Who are you, Job?" But Job had such a relationship with God that he could have those discussions and those talks to say, "God, what is going on? I want you as an audience." And that's what a lot of those chapters go on in Job, to where Job is desiring and saying, "God, I need you to show up because I have questions that I have to ask you. And I want you to show my friends it's not because there's sin in my life that you're doing this to." So we see this, and then we see Job 22:28, a few verses later. It says, "You will decide on a matter." Again, God, "you will decide on a matter, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways." Ultimately, God is the one who decides. He is sovereign, and he is in control of all things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the God who created us is still intricately a part of his creation and what's going on? He didn't just create us and put us here and left us on our own. He didn't do that. God wants that ongoing relationship and that ongoing work that he is doing. We are a part of that. And yet, to realize that as we pray, that God's decision on the matter is final. My dad used to say, when I would buck the trend, and of course I was the son that always challenged the trend. Go figure, right? My older brother always kind of followed the rules, and I was always the one who questioned. And then my younger brother was the one who tried to make peace with us all. And I would always question, "Dad, why do we have to do this? Or why can't I go to my buddy Dave's house? Or why can't I do this? Or why?" "Because I said so, and that's final." That's not an answer. Oh man, I see so much of my dad in me. Lisa shakes her head yes. All the good qualities, right? This is God. Listen, he has the final say. All right. Now we turn to Matthew 7, I've kind of walked us through a passage in each of the Gospels here this morning, and we see that this is part of the Jesus' teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, and this is a part of that. And so let's dig in, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says this, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" We could spend a long time just on that passage. We have a great heavenly Father who loves to give. God is a giver. He's not Ebenezer Scrooge who just holds on. That isn't God's nature, and we see that. Now flip over with me a few chapters to Matthew 15. We come to this story here in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, about a Canaanite woman. And again, the context of the social aspect of this is a Canaanite didn't associate with the Jews, especially a Canaanite woman. They were considered lower class. They were considered the really kind of the low of the low. And here this woman is coming to Jesus because, as we will read, she understands who he is. And so let's read this, and we're going to talk about this here. So Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And your daughter, and her daughter was healed instantly. What a story, as we see, again, the culture aspect of this. Here was a Canaanite woman who was acknowledging Jesus in the term that she uses, Lord, Master, and then also Son of David, acknowledging here is the Messiah. Here is the one who is rightfully, rightful heir of the throne of David. And if you're a Jew, an Israelite, that speaks strong, bold terms. Son of David? You're Son of David. You're something. And here she's acknowledging as a Canaanite woman, this is who I believe you are. And yet, what happens? Nobody's listening. Why isn't nobody listening? Because she's considered low class. And yet here, here she responds to Jesus' response saying, "Hey, I'm not going to take the food that I've come for, that God has sent me here to minister to the nation of Israel. I'm not going to just throw it to everybody." And her response was one of faith and that, "Hey, there are crumbs that fall from that table, and let me be part of that. Let me have a little taste of what it means to be a part of that Son of David." An Israelite, a Jew. In that very moment, Jesus recognizes her faith. "O woman, great is your faith." She's come and she's asked of God. Now flip over with me to Mark 11. Mark 11, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 25. So Mark 11, 20 through 25. I do this at camp a lot. Once you find your spot, if you look up and smile at me, then I know that you're with me and you've found your spot. So Mark 11, verses 20 also helps me feel good and like I'm connecting with you. All right? Everybody likes a smile. All right? Mark 11, some of you are like... I see those smiles online, right? Yeah? All right, Mark 11, 20. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. We see here a passage of great encouragement as Jesus continues this road of leading his and teaching his disciples, heading to the cross. Ultimately, he wants them to be reassured that God is with them and that they have power, that power of God with them, so that when they ask, that God hears them and that God will use them and work through them, that they can be reassured of that. Because this story is one where Jesus came to a fig tree, and that fig tree wasn't bearing, which it wasn't supposed to in that season. If you look at the story, it wasn't even supposed to be in season for that tree to bear. And yet Jesus curses that fig tree. I don't think it's because necessarily it was about the fig tree. It's about the story of teaching the disciples. So it wasn't out of just like anger that Jesus said, okay, you're not going to bear fruit for me. You're gone. Curse be you. You're gone. No, I think this was really a story about, hey, I want to show you as disciples, as followers of me, that you have great power. That same power that I demonstrated to you, you have that. And let me remind us as we look at this in a little bit, sometimes we get this idea and thought, well, if I just ask and really believe, then God's going to grant it to us. That's not how prayer works. Okay, remember, prayer isn't just a method. It's not just about getting whatever we want. Prayer is about a relationship. But in that relationship, we must never forget the power of our God. That power that God instills in us, that you and I have that capability, not because of who we are, not even because we're good prayer warriors, but because the power of God at times can be demonstrated through us if we ask, which we'll get to in a little bit. Let's keep going. Now let's flip over to Luke. Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. So here's a parable. A parable was a story for a select group of people to have an insight into spiritual things. And so here's a parable that Jesus wants to be able to explain and to share with his followers so that his disciples, and this even says this in the first part of this, that they continue to pray and that they won't lose heart. Real quick, if you would humor me for a second, how many of you would be open enough to admit that you, in your prayer time, at some point in your life, you've lost heart in praying? Would you raise your hand? You're not alone. There's a lot of us. And so I think this speaks to us today. So let's read Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We're going to talk about the faith aspect of asking here in a little bit, but what a story for us to see here of a king who is not a follower of God, nor does he really care about mankind. He's all about himself, and yet he grants a request to this woman because she continually comes over and over and over requesting demanding, torturing him, like, please, will you get out of my hair? Go outside and play, kids, right? That idea, that thought, just give me my space, and yet he's responded to this. Here's the story. How much more does our God love us and is merciful and gracious to us than this king? Flip over now to John 14. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Familiar passage around this, where we see that Jesus has responded to Thomas, expressing, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through me. And then Philip responds and says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And then we see down a few verses later, this is our passage, John 14, 12 through 14. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. A lot of people have asked throughout the years, well, why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. I think this passage is one of them. It gives us pretty clear direction. Whatever you ask in my name, well, what is that name? The name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus is above all. And when we come in the name of Jesus, we have direct access to the God of the universe. And in response to Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. Not only do we have direct access now here, but we also understand that it's the sacrificial death and burial and resurrection of Christ that allows us to have that access. It's that propitiation where Christ takes the full wrath of God upon himself, and that atoning sacrifice where we have now access to the Holy of Holies as the Israel enjoyed, and only the priests could come. But we have access. The curtain has been ripped apart, and we can come before God through Jesus, in Jesus, by Jesus. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because that's where our power comes from. Let's continue, and you can just listen and read up on the screen if you want for this next verse. It's a long one, so be ready. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. It's not very long, but it's powerful. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe you just need to take that verse and jot it down and take that with you this week. I think a lot of our prayer life, a lot of my prayer life has to do with this verse right here. How much am I walking by faith compared to by what I'm seeing or what I don't see, what I want to see? Another passage I'll just read for you, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If you have your Bible still there with you, turn over to the book of James, if you would, please. James 1. James 1, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. I don't know about you, but in my prayer life, I think I've probably prayed this passage more than any other passage. Being a young pastor, when I first started off. I guess I'm not that young anymore. Maybe I still am. This passage gives great hope. And so let's read this together. James 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And then flip over, if you would, to James 4. James 4, verses 1 through 10. This is a larger section, and I went ahead and put it all in because I think it speaks to a lot of our struggles in our lives today. James 4, verses 1 through 10. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly and you spend it on your passions, you adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. A couple more passages that I'll just read here for you. 1 John 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and we do what pleases him. And then 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So as we think about this and how we can live this out, your insert there, we need to make a correction real quick, that James 4 passage should be verses 1 through 10, not 16 through 18, because actually there's only 16 and 17. There is no verse 18. And so I don't want to be accused of adding to the Bible, okay? But just cross that out and put verses 1 through 10. When we look at this, our first week we looked at praise, the P, praising God. And we can praise God for his character, for who he is, for what he's done, for all that he's given us, and all the things that he has protected us from. Last week we talked about to come to God and to repent, to confess our sin and the importance of that, and calling sin, sin, in a culture, in a world where we don't want to call sin, sin. I've been told at certain services not to use that word, which is amazing to me. And I had to apologize and say, I'm going to talk about how we are disobedient and sinful people. And yet there's hope. It's not that we're stuck in our sin, but when we do admit and we confess it to God, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And so that aspect of praising and repenting, and then we come to the A and the Y today. And the A is to ask, and it's there in your notes, to ask. And ultimately, when we ask, it is this, it's a dependency. It's dependency. It's admitting that I need help. When I come and I ask God, it's admitting and saying, God, I need your help. And I wonder sometimes if that's why I don't come, because I don't come to God because I think I can handle it. And I don't want to admit. I don't want to humble myself. I don't want to be dependent. How bad is that? How bad does that sound? That sounds bad, doesn't it? But isn't that how we live sometimes in our daily life? When I get up in my day and I haven't talked to God for half of my day, and then all of a sudden I have this huge struggle in the afternoon, and I'm like, I just lived half of my day today not depending on God for anything. When we come and ask of God, it is that dependency. It's admitting that we don't know it all. We need His help. When we ask of God, the second point there is it needs to be in faith believing. In faith believing. The passage that we read this morning highlighted the criticalness of not just asking, but we believe. We must believe. We must see beyond what is physical and to trust that God is who He is. We have to ask in faith. And I think this is played out in a way where sometimes we're afraid to ask God for something because maybe He will answer us, or maybe we'll be disappointed if He doesn't. And so we just don't ask. I wonder, when we fail to ask, is it a picture again of our faith? I've known some great people, and they've asked for big things. If I can encourage a book for you to read, it's George Mueller's autobiography, one of the greatest books that I've read about prayer and about what prayer looks like in a man. And George Mueller, as he lives his life, he is in a constant state of prayer. And that prayer life showed his great faith, because he was totally dependent, but he had a faith that looked beyond what was here on this earth, and he could see beyond that. How's your in faith believing? I think sometimes we trust modern medicine more than we trust the God who has given us modern medicine. Do you believe that God is the great physician, or that He's just given us great physicians? See, it goes back to, how do we view God? How am I seeing Him? How do I look at God, and what does my faith look like? Maybe there's a situation in your life where there's not a whole lot of hope. Let me encourage you, speak specific to God. God knows it, and that's one of these questions. Why pray if God already knows what I'm going to ask? Because He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you. I know my kids are thankful when they get a present, but it's nice to hear it. Thank you, Dad. Thanks for that. Those are sweet things, sweet times, and God wants to hear that. Don't be afraid to be specific. The last is persistence. When we ask, be persistent. Don't lose heart. One of our charter members, Marie Knopfsinger, I remember talking with her several times, and one of the things that I loved about Marie was Marie and Hoyt were prayer warriors. They were prayer warriors. They prayed all the time, and they prayed for me, and they prayed for our church, and they prayed for a lot of people. And one of the things that I remember Marie struggling with was people that she would pray for, that they would come to know Christ, and that she would pray for years and years and years. And she would say, I feel like just giving up. I feel like I shouldn't pray for them anymore because I prayed for a long time. But the cool thing about Marie is she might say that, and she might struggle through that, but she would keep praying. Is there somebody or something that you've given up praying for? Let me encourage you, be persistent. Just as that parable we saw in the parable. Come on, keep coming to the door. Are you coming to knock? This is me. I come to the door. Jesus, I got a favor to ask. Would you do this? Oh, no, okay, all right. Be persistent. Don't lose heart. So that's asking. The fourth, and maybe the most difficult, is yielding. To yield. To say, Lord, your will be done. And so let's quickly walk through this. The first is to this. This means that I'm going to surrender. My will is yielding to God's will. My will is yielding to God's will. It's saying, not mine, but yours, God. I'm surrendering this. I'm bringing it to you. I'm asking you to do this. But ultimately, I know that you know what's best, God. And so we don't not ask. We ask, but we ask not wavering in our faith. We believe that God can do it. For example, Georgia Risch. We have prayed, and I have prayed, God, would you heal her from her cancer? Do you believe that God could do that? I do. I believe that God could do that because God is a great physician. I believe that God can do anything. If he can cast demons out, if he can make a man blind that can see again, if he can make somebody who's laying on a bed who can never walk stand up and rise and walk again with no therapy, with nothing, like, how does that happen? Well, that's because God is God. And because God has that power, I believe that God could heal Georgia. And so I ask that. But I also have to yield. It's almost like, God, I'm asking you to do this. And, not but, and I also acknowledge that this may not be your plan. This is what I'm asking. Not a but. I think but says, hey, no, I'm doubting. God, I want you to do this, and I also want you to know that I want what you want, because I know that's what's best. I'm going to trust you. And so we walk by faith. Second, we walk by faith, and we walk not by sight. To be able to say, God, you can see it all. You're in charge of all. You can see it all, and so I'm going to trust you, and that's going to strengthen my faith. And so maybe God isn't answering your prayers in the way that you want because he wants to strengthen your faith. He doesn't want to discourage you. He doesn't want to push you away. In fact, he wants to strengthen your faith. We think that if God answers our prayer in the way that we ask, oh, that'll strengthen my faith. No, it just makes me want more. And that's not a bad thing, but the demand continues to follow. And the reality is that when I ask and God doesn't answer, that makes my faith have to grow stronger. Because it's not happening the way that I would want it. That means God's working in a different way that I can't see. Next is God grants wisdom and insight in his time. I believe that as we walk through life, God allows us to see things and he allows us to have the wisdom and the knowledge that maybe we don't have in that situation, in that time. So when I'm praying for something, and when I prayed for something 19 years ago, I couldn't see what I see now. And part of that's time, but I believe a lot of that has to do with God giving us wisdom to be able to understand and say, okay, I couldn't see the picture of that, but now, God, now I see it. Now I see you working. Now I see what you're trying to do. Sometimes, and in some situations, we may never see that this side of glory. You might not see that. And so when we're praying, we might not have an answer to our prayers in the way that we can visually see it played out. But I believe one day we will. God is sovereign. He is good. He is gracious. And I can trust him. The fourth there is rest. To experience the peace of God. To rest. When I yield to God, when I say, God, it's not my will, but yours. There's something that happens. That weight is taken off my shoulders. And it's laid at the cross. I can rest. And when we come to God and we beg him and we plead and we come asking and confessing and praising, there's something when we get to this point of saying, God, you're God. And help me. Help me to trust you. Help me to yield to you. When I can do that, there's something that the rest of the world can't experience that only we as Christ followers can. It's because the Spirit that lives inside of us is ministering to us, and that gives us peace. Have you ever experienced the peace of God when you're in a situation that you can't explain later on? You're like, I don't even know how I made it through that. Ah, God gave that to you. That's the peace of God. And when we yield our situations and our time, God works in a way that he doesn't otherwise. To trust. Trust is a big part of prayer. Trust is knowing and believing in the character of God. How do we know who God is? By reading his word. How do we know how God works? It's because we read his word. We're engaged with an ongoing relationship with God. And your trust will grow as you read and study the word of God. The last is this. Jesus modeled yielding in the garden. Jesus modeled this for us. And I put the passage there, Matthew 26 and 39 and 42. And actually, the passage says that he went back a third time and prayed the same prayer, praying, Lord, if it would be your will to take this cup from me, but if not, God, if you would take this cup of suffering, but if not. Jesus modeled this, yielding to not his will, but the Father's will. Let me break some news to you here. You're not here on this earth for you. At least you shouldn't be. We're here on this earth to do the will of the Father. And when we yield to that, it's an avenue where God can work great and mighty things. But sometimes I fight against that, right? That's why I get mad. That's why I get stubborn. That's why I get moody. Well, maybe a little moody. Not bad. A little bit. When I don't get my way. Right? But Jesus models this for us. So here's the three questions. Have you given up on asking God about something or someone? And let me encourage you, start praying about that again. Second, are you asking God that what are you asking God that you need to yield to him? Maybe you're asking and you're demanding an answer, and it's not going your way, and so you're having a hard time. Would you yield that to God today? And then third, what does your prayer life reveal about your relationship with God? What's your prayer life reveal about your relationship with God? Some days, for me, it's really good. Other days, it would reveal that, man, Aaron, you're trying to do it by yourself. God loves you. He cares for you. He demonstrated that when he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. For all of us, for our sins, because we are sinners and because we need a Savior. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God invites you to a relationship with him. And that's what prayer is all about. It's about that relationship. And so I encourage you, you have an opportunity today to place your faith in Jesus. That Jesus can be your hope, that he can bring you salvation, a home in heaven forever. You must admit that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. You must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. And you give your heart and your life to him. For those of us who know Christ, we're followers of Christ. Why do you pray? Why should you not pray? We need to be prayer warriors. And let's ask God. Let's not be afraid to ask God to do great things. And let's yield to him and see his power work. Lord, we are thankful this morning for the opportunity to gather, to worship you, to praise you. Lord, you are so good to us, and yet, Lord, I know, I look at my life, and there's so many times that I live daily trying to live life myself. And so, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me. And I pray that you would help me. Help me to grow in my faith. Help me to trust you more. I pray for this great group of people who have joined today. Lord, may you encourage them and strengthen them in their faith walk. Lord, may they sense and know that you are a God who loves them and who wants to walk with them each day and each minute, each second of every day. And you care so much for us. So, Lord, help us to be quick to pray, quick to come to you, quick to talk, quick to listen. And Lord, we're thankful for the ways that you're going to show up as only you can. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.